was real tired of turkey. I'm like, we had turkey three times this week. I had turkey three times this week, and then leftovers too. So went to we had turkey Sunday here with the church, and then with my in-laws on Thursday, and then we had turkey on Friday with my family. So I'm all turkeyed out here, and I cooked turkey for each one of those times. So like I'm tired of turkey, man. I'm real tired. So it's Christmas season. I don't know what it's like in your household, but like when my kids watch the TV, you notice there's all these new advertisements that come on, and they're like, "Ooh, what is that? It has lights and it glows, and like I want that." And it's like, "Daddy, if you love me, you get me one of those, and my life will be incomplete unless I have this thing." And I'm like, you didn't even know this thing existed a couple minutes ago until you saw that. Now you're unhappy, right? And so they're getting ads from, you know, all the, you know, the Toys R Us and the Target, and they're like, it's like they know which families have kids, right? They send it, and the kids like get out their crayon. They're like, "I want this one, and all page 37." And they, you know, so they make a list of all these different things that they want. So that's kind of how it is, and I have to kind of, you know, bring it to reality. You know, like, hey, show that list to grandma, because daddy's not, you know, we're not made like that. So maybe grandma struggle the ones at grandma's house, you know. The question is, have you made your list yet? Have you made your list of what you want for Christmas? Maybe for us, we're not kids necessarily, maybe kids at heart, right? But maybe the things that you want, that you have on your Christmas list is not stuff, it's not toys, but maybe for given the prayers, maybe on your Christmas list are things like health. Like, I just want to be healthy. You know, I just want to be around. Maybe on your Christmas list is something about relationships. There's been some turmoil in your life in that area of relationships. There's been people that you would like to reconcile with, but there's issues there. It just makes you uncomfortable. Maybe on your Christmas list, you would like some direction in your life. You say, "You know what, I've been going this road, and I'm not sure this is the road that God wants me on, but I don't know another road that I need to take. So I need some direction." Maybe on your Christmas list, you would like to have some meaning and purpose for your life right now. Because you're just going forward, and you're doing your thing, but you don't really know behind it. Am I doing the right thing? Is there meaning and there purpose behind that? So we all, maybe you don't want stuff for Christmas, but right now there's probably some things that are on your list that you would like for God to do something for you. So I'm not sure what you want for Christmas, but let me tell you what I want for you for Christmas. It's what I want for myself. It's what I want for my family. Is this, that I want each of us to have a life-changing encounter with the one true God. An encounter that will come to change us from the inside out, to know God in a deeper way, so that we can put our full confidence and trust and loyalty and allegiance to this God. I want all of us to draw closer to God in a trusting relationship. I know that we are all in different places along the journey of our relationship with God. Some of us are just starting out. Some of us weren't necessarily raised going to church, and you're just starting out. You maybe heard some things about God, some things about Jesus, but you never really participated on this journey for yourself. And you're just starting out. You know, you're just coming back to church, and it's becoming real for you for the very first time. Because now, for once, it's your decision. It's your choice, right? Maybe when you're little, someone dragged you to church, but it wasn't your choice. But now you're like, okay, this is me now. You feel like you're just starting out. Others of you, you've been on this journey, and you've been going around in this circle. And you keep on, you enter a relationship with God, and then you step out, and then you come back in, and you're at this place where you're stuck, and God is like, "Hey, I need you to trust me. I need you to give me that thing." And so maybe you're there. Or others of us, we might be at this place where we feel like we know God, we're serving God, but we want to go deeper. We want to get more intimate with God. So this is what I want to talk about. We're starting a series today, a Christmas series. It's called God With Us. And for Christmas, this is what I want us to do. I want us to focus this season on the baby Christ, the Christ child of Christmas, and want to talk about for the next 4 weeks leading up to Christmas what Christmas is all about, why it's important, and we're going to take a little bit of a different spin on it than we usually do. But I don't know in your home if this is your tradition. We do this at my home. We have these different nativity scenes, you know, manger scenes, you know. We got the precious moments one where it's all these little cute little, you look like little children with chubby cheeks, right? We got the wood carving one, the willow tree. They don't have faces, right? So they could get. And then I have my daughter, they love VeggieTales. So we have the plastic VeggieTales one where Joseph is a tomato and Mary's a cucumber and Jesus is a little pea, right? So so we have all these different things. But growing up, I grew up in a Buddhist Catholic home. My dad's side is Buddhist, my mom's side is Catholic, but not really Catholic because she didn't never go to church, but she just called herself Catholic. So it was funny because even back then, we used to set up a nativity scene, but my mom, she like had a nativity scene passed down from her, but she would ask her Buddhist husband, "Hey, honey, can you set that up?" He's Buddhist. He didn't know what to do. So he would set it up, and he would make it a snow scene, like Jesus was born next to Santa Claus in the North Pole. He would make a snow scene because he didn't know. He was like, "Well, I saw this stuff with the Christmas tree and the thing." Like, he would put all that stuff together, and this is how I know my mom never went to church, because she would look at that and say, "Oh, good job, honey. That's so beautiful." I'm like, "What? You never went to church? How?" You know, it's like, there's something. That's Jesus, Israel, they don't have snow. That's not the North Pole, right? But this is the thing. In all the nativity scenes that you see, there's Joseph and Mary, there's some camels, there's some shepherds, some sheep, some cows, angels, all that stuff. But the center focal point of the nativity scenes is always the baby. It's always the baby. And that's the thing that we want to focus on, that the baby lying in the manger in that feed trough is the center of Christmas, the center of the story. The shepherds came to worship this baby. The wise men came to worship and to give the baby gifts. And this is the thing. Talking about life-changing encounter. It's when we realize who this baby is, and that we would have that same life-changing encounter when these shepherds, when they open up their eyes. I mean, maybe you guys, I mean, imagine that for the very first time, seeing that this baby is God born in flesh. You know, for when they understood that, when they saw it, it just blew their mind. So today, I want to try to answer two questions. And it's probably, you probably know this, the answers to this, but during this time, it's about reminding ourselves of what we already believe. It's reminding ourselves to why we serve, why we follow Jesus, and to give him thanks, right? So the two questions is this: who is this baby, and why does he deserve my worship? Who is this baby, why does he deserve my worship? And today, we're actually going to study a passage of Scripture that is one of the most difficult passages to explain, but I'm going to try to do it because it's very important. It's not necessarily a Christmas passage, but it explains who Jesus is, who this baby is. And let me give you a little bit of context of where we are. We're in we're going to be studying scripture in the letter to the Philippians, okay? So let me give you what's happening. The Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the church in Philippi because this church was like any other church. There's a bunch of people arguing, right? You don't have a real good church unless you have people arguing, right? You're like, so this is normal. That's how it is. They were arguing, and the reason why is people there were like, they were looking out for themselves first. You know, they go to church, and there are, you know, people cutting line and getting food. People, they're just thinking about themselves, right? They're just not thinking about other people. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, and then there's starting to be a little bit of factions, and people are fighting. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, you guys got to stop doing that. You got to be more unified. You got to love each other. You got to put other people ahead of yourself. And then he tells them, you got to start thinking like Jesus was thinking when he became a baby. Right? He says, this is the thing that's going to change your life. It's going to change the church. When you start thinking like Jesus did when he was born, okay? We're going to see, and he describes what was behind the scenes when Jesus was born. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let me tell you, I'm serious. This is a hard passage, okay? But I'm going to try to explain it because it's very theological, and it might be a little bit difficult to understand. But if you get it, your mind will be blown. You'll get blown, right? Here we go. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let me go down to verse 3, okay? He's talking to people who argue about each other. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." He says, "Stop thinking about yourself first, think about other people, care about them." And then he says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." So like, if you want to fix the problems in your church, you got to start thinking the way Jesus was thinking. And then he describes what happened during the first Christmas. It says, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So this is our passage where it talks about who this baby is, why he deserves our worship. We see here that the main idea here is he's saying, stop thinking about yourself, get in your head the mind of Jesus. And he says, there's three words that sums this whole thing up in verse 8. And he says, he humbled himself. It's about Jesus humbling himself, right? So if you have your programs, there are some fill in the blank. I have four different thoughts there to give you about who Jesus is, who this baby is, why we should, and why he deserves our worship. The first thing is, the baby is the God who created and sustains the universe. This baby is the God who created and sustains the universe. This is the thing. A lot of us, when we think about Jesus, we think about the baby, we think of like, oh, this little cute, you know, a lot of us, we don't realize who this baby is. Like, I think sometimes he's the Son of God. We think of Jesus as less than God, right? The Jehovah's Witness say that Jesus is a God, not the God, a God with a lowercase g, right? So he is like a demigod. Or the Mormons believe that Jesus was a man who became God, right? Like, that's kind of like Buddha, right? He was a man walking around, he was enlightened, he became God, he was used by God. But this is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, it says, being, you know, it says in verse 6, being in very nature God, that he was God. That the New Living Translation says, though he was God, he did not consider it something to be held on to. It says he was being equal with God. New American Standard says that Jesus, although he existed in the form of God. So this, you need to understand this. I mean, it might sound like we're mixing up words and ideas, but this is real essential to our faith. That the baby that is in the manger is also the God who created the universe. What you know that little baby? He's the one that said, "Let there be light." That little baby was the one who breathed into a pile of dust and made man in his own image. That was who was in that little manger. Let me read Colossians chapter 1. So I'm going to skip over one page here in verse 16, right? Talking about Jesus, right? It says, "For by him," by Jesus, "all things were created." Like, it was Jesus made all things. Just things in heaven. Like, he made the heavens. He even made the angels. He even made Satan. Right? Things on the earth. He made the mountains and the sky and the sea. visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. He says he was the one who made all these things. All things were created by him and for him. Like he not only created all this stuff, he created it for himself, right? And he says it's like, wasn't Jesus like born? Where was he before he was like? Didn't he just come into existence when he was born? No. Verse 17 says, he is before all things. So before, it says in the beginning, right? You know how Genesis says, in the beginning, right? So beginning means that's the beginning of time. But it says, in the beginning, God already was, right? So God was before the beginning, right? I mean, this is something that's crazy. God was before the beginning. It says, he is before all things. And then check this out. Your mind's about to be blown, right? In him, all things hold together. It says, right now, the universe, the cells in our body, is somehow being held together, sustained. Life is sustained because of Jesus, right? So this is the thing. When we talk about this baby, oh, let's go, it's Jesus' birthday, happy birthday to Jesus. It's like, well, God, think about this. It's not just about a baby, celebrating a baby's birth. It's about God who became man, okay? Not just a God or not a special man who became God, achievement. It is the God who created the heavens and the earth became man, right? So it's the reason, who is that baby? Why should we worship him? That baby is the God who created and continues to sustain the universe. You know, the Nicene Creed says this, that he is a very God of very God. It describes his nature, right? He holds all these things together. He always existed, right? Second reason why we should, why should we worship him, right? Is that this baby, not only was he the creator and sustainer of the universe, but this baby humbled himself. Number two, he humbled himself to leave heaven and to become a servant. He humbled himself. In verse 6, he says, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Okay, so it starts off, he is God. Not a God, not a lesser. He is God, right? And he says, he did not consider that something to be grasped. Okay, well, our English word grasp, we think of a couple of things. Like grasp means like, oh, I'm trying to reach out to attain that. That's not what it means. Grasp means to be like held onto. Like, I ain't giving this. Like, oh, you want this? Not, you got to pry it out of my cold, dead fingers. He's like, I'm not giving this up. That's what he says. No. He did not consider that position something that he needed to hold onto. It's like, you know what? I can let this go. I don't need to. It's like he was up there in heaven, streets of gold, right? The gates, they said there was a gate made out of, the giant gate made out of one pearl, right? This giant thing, one pearl. And it said the angels flew around him and bowed down and worshiped him and all this. He says, you know what? I don't really need all this. I could give this up. He gave up his rights and privileges to become a baby, right? To be cold, to enter into a world where he could feel pain, right? Where he would cry, and not only this, where he was poor. I mean, it's not just about God becoming man and to die on the cross. He could have became the richest man in the world. I mean, like if I was like, okay, I'll become if I was going to write up the thing. Okay, if I need to come out and die on the cross when I'm 33, at least let me live 33 years as a rich man, as a ruler. Then take me out, right? But he's like, no, I'm going to be. He says being found in the very. Says he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness. So he not only became a man, but he became a servant, a humble man. Right? And it says, he made himself nothing. Literally, that word means he emptied himself. He says, you know what? I don't need to hold on to this. I'm going to empty myself to become a man. In John chapter 1, it says the Word, meaning Jesus. The Word in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Eugene Peterson, in his translation, he says, the Word became flesh and blood, and he moved into the neighborhood. That's how he describes it. Moved into the neighborhood. He also says that in his translation of Philippians, he says, when the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity, and he took on the status of a slave and became human. Right? So this is the idea. In that baby, like that baby, he didn't give up being God. He didn't empty himself of Godhood. You notice what he did was this. He says, he made himself nothing. How? Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So he says, I'm going to become a man. He says, I am God, but I'm adding to myself humanity. Right? So what we have here is not that God stopped being God. But somehow in this, there's this idea that child was fully God and fully man. Right? That's why he deserves our worship. That's an important, we call that the dual natures of Christ. That's important. This baby, you can see this thing. When we think about, this little baby, he was born like we don't realize how important that is because we don't realize where he started from. Like, okay, this poor baby, people were poor back then, that's what they did. But do you realize that what he gave up to become human, right? Number three, who is this child and why should we worship? This baby became obedient to death on a cross for us. This baby became obedient to death on a cross for us. In verse 8, it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself again and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So it was planned from the very beginning that God the Son would come down and live the life that we could not live and die the death that we deserve to die. Like if you were to ask Jesus, why did you come? This is what he would tell you. This is what he said to the people who asked him. He says, I've come to seek and to save the lost and to give my life as a ransom for many. Like, that's why I came. I came to seek out those who are lost, and I came so I could die on their behalf because I'm coming to live the life that they could not live. They could not please God by their life. So I come to live that life, and I come to die the death that they deserve so that we can trade places with them. I've come to trade places with you because you messed it all up, and you couldn't do it on your own. So I've come to reverse because this is what's going to happen. I'm going to come, and I'm going to live down here the way you're supposed to live. I'm going to die the death that you are supposed to die so that if you put your faith in me, you come up and sit with my Father in heaven. We're going to trade places, right? This baby came to be obedient to death on a cross to reunite us with the Father, right? And this was planned from the beginning. He knew why he came. He came to die. This baby came to die. Even at the very first, when Jesus was starting his ministry, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You see that man right there? He's going to be the Lamb that was slaughtered for your sin. That's what he's like. Everyone knew, right, why he came. Okay, who is this baby? Why does he deserve our worship? Number four, this baby is exalted by the Father and will be worshipped by all creation. This baby will be worshipped by all creation. Verse 9, it says, therefore, because he humbled himself, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, and to the glory of God the Father. It says, the Father exalted him, and he will be worshipped by all. Creation bows down and gives him honor. And this is what I want you to see. This is I don't know if you hear the progression here. He says, who who being in very nature God, right? He emptied himself and he became a man. Not only any type of man, he became a servant, right? But as a servant, he says he humbled himself and became obedient to death. He let himself be killed, but not any type of death, even death on the cross, the lowest. This is saved only for the worst criminals. So you see what he's saying. The Apostle Paul said, he was up here and he chose to go down and humble himself, to go down. He says, therefore, the Father exalts him above every other name, gave him the name that is above every name, that every name, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. Right? So the question is this, for you, is this baby just a baby? Or is baby the God of the universe, your Savior, the person that loves you, and will you join in worship, join the these angels in worshiping this baby? Right? See, the story of Christmas is this, that the incarnation, Jesus becoming man, shows us that we are people that are well-loved by God. We are well-loved by God. That even while we were still in our sins, we were thought of, we were pursued by God. He made arrangements to sacrifice himself. He paid for our sins. He atoned our sin. Therefore, so what does that mean? Going back to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, do nothing out of vain conceit, selfish ambition, but consider others better than yourself. What does that mean? I don't have to keep on looking out for me because I have God looking out for me. I can love others and put others first. Right? That's the first thing. Secondly, that I when we realize what God has done, I realize that Jesus deserves my love and my heart's full heart's worship. Right? So let me give you a closing thought here. Closing thought is Christmas teaches me that I am more loved and accepted than I can ever imagine. All right, now, in Jesus Christ, you are more loved and accepted than you could ever imagine. The question is, how will you respond to that? Will you join all of creation in worshiping this King that was born in that manger? Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for just your love and your commitment, your dedication to us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to see you, help us to encounter you, help us to respond to you in the right way. Lord, we thank you for humbling yourself, becoming a man, becoming a servant, obedient to death on the cross. We thank you. We pray that you would help us to worship you and live rightly for you this Christmas season, that we can really encounter you during this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.